It's been a remarkable year for vehicle owners, difficult for those with Volkswagen TDI diesel cars, but generally easy for drivers at the gas pump. For a look back on some of the automotive highs and lows of 2015, we're joined by Patrick George. He's editor-in-chief of Jalopnik.com, a website that covers cars and the car world. He's with us from Austin, Texas. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Peter.
Sure. So let's start with what's probably the biggest auto story of the year, the Volkswagen diesel emissions cheating scandal. We all know it by now, VW using defeat switch software to pass emissions tests. Where are we right now with VW's reputation? Is it ruined, or do car buyers just forgive and move on?
It seems to depend on who you ask. There are some people who are your diehard Volkswagen diesel loyalists who seem really unaffected by this scandal. And I think they're concerned whether their fuel economy or performance will be affected by whatever fix Volkswagen implements. And then you have the diehard environmentalist crowd that bought into these cars believing that they were clean diesels and feel really cheated by this company and are very upset and are worried about their resale value and are probably not likely to go back to it again.
It makes you wonder if this is the end of so-called clean diesel.
I do believe that in the United States, this is the beginning of the end of diesel. Other automakers wondered aloud for years how Volkswagen could sell diesels in the United States and meet these emissions requirements. And now we know how. They cheated. And I don't see, I don't see other automakers or Volkswagen being able to catch up. I think this is probably the beginning of the end.
Hmm. And then in 2015, there were incredibly low gas prices. The national average these days, down now to about $2 a gallon. That's the lowest they've been in 6 years. And I wonder, is that why we've seen sort of like crazy car sales this year?
That's one of several reasons. America went new car crazy in 2015. We're on pace to sell 17 million new cars by the end of the year, and that's the best it's been in a decade. Gas prices are definitely a factor. Another was widely available credit and the recovering economy, the interest rate being incredibly low, close to zero or at zero for many buyers. It was kind of a perfect storm that just led to Americans snatching up new cars like crazy this year.
And we're buying big, beautiful, expensive cars.
Yes, we are. What we found this year is that given the chance, Americans generally will default to bigger cars. So some of the brands that did the best, like Chevrolet Silverado, Ford F-Series trucks, and definitely Ram trucks and Jeep were some of the strongest selling brands of the year.
And it's so interesting because all this year we've been talking, especially this time of year, we've been talking about the Paris Climate Summit and everything that the world needs to do in order to slow the march of global warming. But is this the kiss of death for hybrids in electrics? I mean, if gas prices are this low for a long time, is anyone going to want them?
I definitely don't think it's the kiss of death for hybrids and electrics. And I do think that electrification is the future of automobiles. Fuel-efficient cars, hybrids and electrics had a tough year because so many Americans kind of defaulted to these larger, more gas-guzzling vehicles. But that's, these automakers are facing increasingly stringent fuel economy and emission standards as the years go on. And they have to sell cars that are more efficient. And buyers will have to buy into them because that's going to be what is available.
And Ford is investing nearly $5 billion on fuel efficiency standards. Is that why?
That is, yes. I mean, that's absolutely the future of cars. You have to see it. It's also kind of frustrating for automakers because it takes years and years for them to plan and develop their product cycles. For years, we had expensive gas and we had stricter fuel economy and emission standards. So it seemed like hybrids and electrics were poised to be the next big thing. That's what they made available. And then gas plummets, and now everyone's buying SUVs and crossovers and pickup trucks. So automakers are scrambling to get more of those on their dealer lot because they know that's what people will buy.
Finally, 2015, a very big year for self-driving cars. Google made a lot of headlines this year with that. Where do we stand?
This is definitely the turning point for autonomous cars, I think. There were some huge developments by new players like Tesla Motors, as well as your established ones, Ford and Google and Volvo. Huge developments this year. Like Tesla introduced Autopilot, which is kind of like the ultimate form of cruise control. It can drive itself in the city and even change lanes at highway speeds. One of our writers and his team drove one across the country, and it did 90% of the driving.
So are we essentially there?
I don't think we're there yet. I think we're at least a decade away from fully autonomous cars, but there's still a lot to figure out there. I don't think that car companies have quite figured out what they want the ultimate form of autonomous cars to take, whether this is going to be ultimate cruise control or it's going to be, you know, driverless pods that wander around cities and are completely on demand and take us wherever we want to go and we have no interaction with them. I have a feeling it'd be a mix of those things. But, you know, this is a model that could completely disrupt the idea of car ownership. And, you know, as we see autonomous features increasingly added to luxury vehicles and then mid-price vehicles as well, I think automakers really need to figure out what the end game is going to be here and what they want this to be.
All right. The Year in Cars with Patrick George. He's editor-in-chief of Jalopnik.com. Patrick, thank you.
Thank you so much.